Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Bala Bello. Enjoy the Spirit.
They cannot be enough. They are not sufficient. But we brought this little to you. We brought this little to you. We brought this token to you. We brought this token to you. We brought this token to you. Our Lord, we brought this token to you. Our hands. We brought this token to you, our shield. We brought this token to you. Oh, we brought this token to you, our provider. We brought this token to you, the Lord eternal. We brought this token to you, our salvation, our redeemer, the savior of our souls. Oh, yeah, we brought this token to you. They're not enough, but they're talking of appreciation. It's a talking of our love. You've done so much. You've done great things. You've done mighty things. You've done wonderful things. You've done excellent things. You redeem our soul from destruction. You redeem our soul from perdition. You brought us to life eternal. You brought us to life eternal. They are not enough. Let this talking be received. Thank you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have given thanks. Our rejoicing and gladness is as a result of what you did in Calvary. Our rejoicing and gladness is as a result of the salvation of our soul. Our rejoicing and gladness. It's because of the hope that you have given unto us in livelihood. Our rejoicing and gladness is because we are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, the fourth begotten of the Father. This is our rejoicing. This is our gladness. We are grateful, Lord. We were one time alienated from His glory. We were one time separated from the place of the Father. But we've been brought near. We've been brought near. Thank you for bringing us near. Thank you for bringing us near. Oh, blessed be to the name of the Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Father, we are grateful tonight. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for begotten us by your word. Thank you for another begotten that is taking place. Thank you because we know you are giving us portion tonight. Thank you because you are reconfiguring us, you are rechanging us, you are remolding us, you are changing us for better. Everyone will see you tonight. We will hear the truth. We shall be set free. We shall be made whole. We shall be delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Portion that is allotted to us, no one will take it away. Lord, we ask for heaven to be open. We ask for grace. We ask for capacity. We ask for competence that no one among us will do violence to your word. Your word shall be accurately delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every naughty issue, every spiritual issue that we are yet to understand, there shall be revelation knowledge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will bring us into the knowing. When we know, we will see. When we see, we will handle in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a great privilege to stand before you to bring this short exhortation. And I want to thank our dear beloved mother who has extended this grace. I trust God that every one of us will be touched this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Everybody have reasons for being glad. There are so many reasons why people become glad. Some, they become glad because there's an alert and they saw some money in their account. And they just, praise the Lord. Some are glad because they just purchase a iPhone and they begin to show it. Some are glad because what they put on is so fitting and they begin to do yoga with it. But listen, our gladness is not in all of this. No. We are not among those who become glad in flesh. Our gladness is in the spirit. It's in the fact that we are redeemed. It's because we are saved. It's because we are come into fellowship. We've been called into fellowship. This is the source of our gladness. And that was the reason why I was excited. We sang that song many years back. It has never been meaningful to me like tonight. It's so meaningful. And I said, it was a good song. Praise the Lord. That song was not ordinary. Praise the Lord. Because for us to understand what the basis of our gladness, we make you to know that it's a good song. We want to thank the sweet psalmist. Your life will continually be sweet. In Jesus' name. You bless me tonight. We are so blessed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Basically, I want to talk on why many people are so afraid. The basic reason, the basic problem of man is fear. Man has fear for so many things. Fear of, I don't know where my children are now. I don't know what is happening to my children now. Fear of, I don't know what I will eat when I get home. Fear of, I don't know whether I will pass this exam. Fear of death. Some are afraid of sin. They are scared. So there are reasons why people are afraid. But tonight we want to trace, as the Holy Spirit help us, to see those things and see how we can overcome this. Our first reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8. Can we have it projected? Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. The word condemnation is very, very critical and is the key word that interprets this scripture. No condemnation. No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. People are condemned for wrong doings. True of us. When you say certain things that you ought not to say, when you do certain things that you ought not to do, when you walk in a place where you ought not to walk, when you relate with people that you ought not to relate with, people bring condemnation onto you and they begin to condemn you. Why is he doing that? Is he not a Christian? He called himself a Christian and he's doing that. And a condemnation comes upon your soul. They begin to condemn you. And that condemnation has capacity to send fear into your heart if it is not properly handled at that point in time. It has capacity to make you to feel guilty, feel condemned, as somebody has condemned you, to feel guilty. Now, the source of condemnation primarily is from the devil. The source of condemnation primarily is from the devil. God never condemns anyone. What God does is to convict people. There is difference between condemnation and conviction. Okay? So the source of condemnation, you must understand this, because there are certain spiritual laws that we must begin to learn and we must begin to appreciate and understand so that we can live a life that is purposeful unto Him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. That's another critical word. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now we have this question. Is it possible for man to walk after the Spirit 24/7? Is it possible for man to walk in Spirit 24/7? Yeah, we will see it if it is possible and if it is not possible. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Basically, there are two major words that were weaved together and form the themes of the Bible. And those words are life and death. Life and death. And there are two major characters that were involved in these two words. Life and death. Now, the two words, again, is originated from two sources. Righteousness and what? And sin. Righteousness and sin. Please, let's go back to verse 2. So, he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the law of the Spirit of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me past tense, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. See, a natural man cannot handle the issue of sin and death. Sin parted death. And death and sin, they are twin brother. Wherever you see sin, death will surface. Death will occur. Sin as a word is not an act. Do you understand? Sin is not what? It is not an act. Sin is a person. Sin is a personality. And they share the same name with death. Because they have the same feature. They have the same personality. They are twin brother. As a matter of fact, they are much more than twin brother. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Wherever sin, you see sin, death is present. Death is present. Now, sin is much more older even than man. When he was saying, but before the law, there was sin. You understand? Before the law, there was sin. The word law was talking about person. You understand? It's a representation of a person. Then the word sin also represents another character. In other words, as soon as sin occurs, death followed. And that sin, like I said, was Satan himself. So in other words, each time you talk about death, you are talking about the person of Satan. Praise God. You are talking about what? About the person of Satan. We will look into the scripture and see it. So it was death. Sin. Satan himself is death. Is death personified. Death personified. John 10:10. Don't forget what I said, that these two major words are the themes of the Bible. He said, the thief cometh not, but for what? To steal. That's the beginning of death. What he does is that he will take something that will touch your heart. Something that will give you pain. Something that will make you to feel very, very sad. And where you see sadness, sin is at work. Death is at work. Death is at work. The thief cometh not but to steal. That is the low level operation of Satan. Stealing. Stealing. I call it low level operation because there are higher law that have capacity to deal with this issue. Okay? He came into the garden and he stole that which belonged to Adam. The earth was given to Adam and he knew that he needed to steal this thing from Adam and he stole it from Adam. That was the beginning. And to kill. Like I said, once stealing is taking place, listen, we must understand the meaning of stealing. Because devil steals our salvation, steals our joy, steals those things that has been given unto us as an inheritance in Christ. Steal it. Steal it. That's why you see a lot of people when certain issues, certain things came upon them, they feel that, no, I cannot be forgiven. The next thing is to commit suicide. Steal it. Certain thing was stolen and they feel that there is no restoration. Listen to this. There's nothing that devil steals that you cannot get back from God. Do you understand? There is nothing that he has capacity to steal that cannot be restored back unto you. Because he restores all things. He restores all things. Please give us that scripture. Now, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. If you look at this scripture, the word and, normally in the modern English, it's not supposed to be there. Abby, they say, thief cometh not, but for to steal, comma, the word and should not be there. But it's a progression. You understand? That word is and is a progression. The progression of attitude and activities of Satan. So in other words, he's not going to stop at stealing. He will proceed and come to kill. Now, there is possibility that when he's killed, life can come. Don't forget what the Bible says. That when the scent, when you cut a tree and a scent of water come upon it, it will sprout up again. You understand? You think that the tree is dead, but when a scent of water come upon it, it will sprout up again. So, there's possibility for that which the devil killed to see come back to life. So, he progress and make sure that completely annihilated. Praise God. That he completely annihilated. Now, he said, but look at the joy of it. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. Don't forget what I said. That two words are weaved together to characterize Bible. Life and what? And death. Life, one represents Satan, the other one represents Christ. That's what you saw here. So if we call Satan death, you can see that is death in this scripture. You can see that even himself is known as death in this scripture. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, like I said, sin is the mother of death. Ezekiel chapter 18. Can you give us Ezekiel 18? Verse 20. Now, he said, 18:20. He said, the soul that sinned shall die. The soul that sinned shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. I want you to get this scripture properly, because there are certain things that are being used to haunt us, that the sin of your father is what is making your life miserable. Oh, your grandfather has sinned. That's why your life is so miserable. The person who caused your grandfather is dead. And so, you can't escape it. The word of God cannot be broken. The soul that sinned, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteousness shall be upon him. This is New Testament in the Old Testament time. The righteousness of the righteousness shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So, I'm just trying to buttress the fact that sin births death. Okay? Sin births death. And like I said, sin is not an act. It's more than an act. It's not an act. It's a person. It's a personality dwelling in you. Okay? When you harbor sin, you have harbored death. You have harbored the personality. You have harbored, as a matter of fact, you have allegiance to him. Because he controls and take over your movement at every second. That's why the Bible said that when they say some their conscience has been seared with hot iron. They are talking of those who have been indwelled by sin. They are possessed sin. They can't think right. They can't think right. They can't. Whatever is sin is normal to them. Do you understand? It's a normal thing. Such, they can hardly repent of any sin, because basically they are dead. Mm-mm. Do you understand? They are what? They are already dead. They are dead. They are not alive again to righteousness. It is not possible for them to hear the voice of righteousness. Their heart has been sealed up. They have been caged into a mold. And that mold is to continually walk according to the dictate of the sin in them. So what they do is they walk. Don't go that place. Begin to go like this. Begin to go like that. Praise God. So, such soul is dead. Listen, I'm trying to make you to understand so that you will be liberated from greed. And you will have an understanding of certain things, which is the spiritual law that is in operation in your life. Romans 6:23. It says, the wages of sin is what? Is death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin. I don't know how to explain that wages. The wages. You understand? It does not matter how little it is. It is death. Okay? Because you are the property of that debt. Do you understand? Who owns sin? Who owns sin? It's debt. It's debt that owns sin. So once you are in that sin, you know that you are dead. The first person that died, it was not Cain. It was not Abel that first died. It was death himself that killed himself when he sinned against the father. You understand? When he sinned against the Father. There are certain properties of that debt that we must begin to take note, which will help us as a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that when we notice it, we will equip ourselves against it. No, this is it. This is the law of sin and death in operation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why I said that sin is not an act. Because it would have said that, but the gift of God is eternal life through the righteousness of an individual. Do you understand? Or through the work of an individual. Or through the doing of an individual. But it is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen. Basically, law was brought into sin to expose the weakness of man. That man is incapable to keep the law. So, man needs a savior. He needs salvation. He needs deliverance. They basically brought law that to show how frail is man. Praise God. Now, listen. The first name of man. God did not call man, man. No. It was the narrator that began. It was after sin that man is known as man. Yes. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God blessed him. He said, God created man in his own image. It was no man that he created. Who? The person that God created was Adam. Do you understand? It was Adam. Now, the first place where God called man, man, was in the book of Genesis in chapter 5, also in chapter 6, when he said, my spirit shall no longer strive against man. He himself is flesh. Do you understand? That was the first place when God referred to Adam as man. When he began to call man. But the day man sinned, he has become man. The word man is the natural, the flesh. Flesh. You understand? And that's why you see that every man is demotivated and controlled by this. How many of you who are not controlled by flesh today? Let me see your hand. If you are not controlled, and I will tell you that you are lying. You are a liar. When you are hungry, who told you you are hungry? Was your flesh. You're hungry, go and eat. When you need to sleep, who told you you should go and sleep? It was your flesh. When you stand up and you are tired, who told you? Ah, uni joke uni. Flesh ni. So, flesh is the schoolmaster of man. Do you understand? Flesh is the teacher. It's the one who teaches man. This is what you should do. This is how you should do it. It teaches man. Basically, almost everything that man, that if you check your doings today, you discover that a lot of what you did today was motivated by flesh. When you wake up and you want to pray, who told you that you still have time? It's from DSC. He said, God, is it only you? Don't forget that you pray all night yesterday. Still want to start praying? Go and sleep. Are you the pastor of PGT? It's flesh. Praise God. So, John chapter 8, verse 41. You see the problem of man. John 8:41. Okay. He said, ye do the deeds of your father. Singular. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. No, we are not. We are proper children of Abraham. We are not Gentiles. We are not Gentiles. We are brought through, we came through the lineage of Abraham that God set apart. And it's a unique birth. There is no such lineage. There are two nations in the world, the Hebrews, the Jews, and the Gentiles. So he said, we were not born of fornications. It's only the Gentiles that were born of fornication. But the Lord Jesus Christ told them, you do the deed of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Did you see? We have one father, even God. Now, they were talking about covenant here. Because they were covenant children of Abraham. And Abraham had the covenant with God, that God of Abraham. Do you understand? He was called the God of Abraham. The God of Abraham. And so, if the surname of Abraham is God, then every child, every seed of Abraham is also what? Has the surname of God for themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? They carry, their surname is God. So when they say John God, do you understand? John God. This one God. This one God. We have one father, even God. Can you see these people as they are Pharisees? And the same father that the Lord Jesus Christ called himself, it was the reason why they stoned him. That why did you call yourself father? Or why did you call God your father? Did you see the sin in them? You can see sin that they were personified by sin. Their deed was just sinful. Because it was the same word that the Lord Jesus Christ called himself that they took stone. They said, we are throwing you because you called God your father. And now they are calling God their father here. I want you to begin to see the oppression of sin. Because they did not know that what was indwelling in them was the person of sin. So they were dead. They were dead. They were walking gold. They were talking to Pharisees. The next verse. Okay. He said, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you will love me because we come from the same loin. Is it not possible for siblings not to love themselves? When you see two siblings not loving themselves, check, one of them is possessed. You understand? Demon is walking upon one. Listen. There could be time of quarrel, disagreement. It's normal. But that disagreement is momentary. It's momentary. You just see that when something wrong is wrong with the other, he rise up and say, what, my brother? You understand? So now, because they were not of the same stock, that's why they could not recognize Jesus Christ. Now, their father is different from his father. He said, neither came I, you will love me, for I proceeded forth and came forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. 43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You know I said it. Now, when sin dwells inside a man, he can't hear the word of God. Listen, that you see somebody who is hearing the word of God, he is not dead. What was taken away from him was they have stolen certain things from him. The devil has stolen certain things from him. They might have killed certain things in him, but he has capacity to live. Do you understand? Because he could still hear word. He could still listen. He's still showing interest in the word. That's why when there's a student of mine, you know, he put veil here and do everything like that. And we call her Grace. And she's happy about it. When you call her Muslim name, she will. But when you say Gracie, he said, yes, daddy. He said, I told her, I know the reason why you are still bearing memories. It's just because your husband is the Muslim. God is going to take that man away from you. They're not married. They're not yet married. You understand? Do so. Get it. They're not yet married. And I mean it. She's not going to marry that person. In fact, I've settled that. And I told her, I said, you're not going to marry that person. Because there is a seed in her. If you listen to her, to her four choruses. Choruses. You will see. She will come to the autopsies. You will see how she will put turban. Hypocrite. Do you understand? Now, he said, he now said, you are of your father the devil. You are of your father the devil. It is your will to practice the lust. Please give me, no, I don't want this. I'm an old school. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. Now, these are the law of sin. I want you to begin to take note of it. Because if you don't recognize and we don't understand the law of sin, we will not know when we go into sin. One of the law of sin is lust. When you see somebody with iPhone, iPad, you too, you want to have it. That's lust. You see somebody who, do you know that flesh lost almost for everything? Oh, there's so much lust in the church. You don't. If somebody might come to Pastor Seyi's church now and say, wow, Pastor Seyi is lost. And because of that, he will begin to pull down his own lust. He was not called to do this thing, no. He just begin to break down. No, we have to do it. That's lust. Now, you can begin to see the law of sin in operation. Now, if you are not sensitive to checkmate it, it will gravitate into murder. He said, the lust of your father you will do. He was what? A murderer. Maybe I call him death. He was a murderer. Satan is a murderer. What he does to people is to murder people. He murdered life. Because he murdered himself. The first day he transgressed against the father, he killed himself. He murdered himself. He died. There is no life of God in him. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. Now, that's another thing that I want you to take. When you begin to speak of your home, is a law of sin and death. Do you understand? You begin to look at things at your home. It's an attitude of falsity. They are taking you to a place where you are going to graduate into a man who is full of himself, and you see others as not important, but only you. That's the law of sin. He speaks of his own. He does not speak of it. But that one you call is not important. Has that occurred to you before? When I read this scripture, a lot of things change. Even the way I hear myself. Because if you get to a place where they pamper you and they put good meat on your and at the expense of others, it starts from there. And those of us that are leaders are in a home. If I said no, I will tell my wife, you won't kill me. We will eat this thing together. You understand? Because that is where it starts. Little by little. They have to. No, it's not the kid that is damaged. Come on, you cook on my jenko. Do you understand? Just reserve it for daddy. Yes, he's the head of the family. But let's look at this. Speak of it. When you begin to speak of your home, no, Teminio. No. It's my own. My. You can't do that to me. You need that. Oh, mommy. is, this is the principle of law of sin and death. And we must begin to take note of these little, little principles in order to deal with it. Okay. Now, the fragment of sins could culminate and become a person. Do you understand? Once the leg comes and the leg finds a place to stand, only the leg can survive without any other. Later they bring another leg. Later they bring this. Later they bring this. Before you know what is happening, the person is dead. So we need to begin to deal with those things. Listen, he said, I have never spoken about myself. The Lord Jesus Christ, do you see him speaking about himself? All through his ministry, he was always talking about his father. He was always talking about his father. He was always talking about his father. He could not stand in a position where he stands himself. He said, the work he did is what I do. What I hear him is what I say. I do not say anything of my hope. That is the position where he stands. And until we begin to stand in this position too, we will begin to see the law of sin and death operating in our life. He speaks of his own. He's the liar and the father of it. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I want us to know this, that the helplessness of man is understood about sin and death. Man is helpless about the truth. And the helpless, that's why, you know, those of us that God has given us grace to come to life, we must begin to show sympathy because it's an helpless situation. How can you imagine Paul saying that which I want to do, I could not do. That which I do is not me that do it, but that person that will dwell in me. So there, another person is still dwelling in Paul. Do you understand? So somebody is still dwelling inside of Paul. He said, but blessed be to God. Blessed. I guess Paul was talking about his previous experience where he killed people, he stoned them, and he was still standing there. Yes. And he was rejoicing when Stephen was killed. You understand? It was not him. It was the devil that was in him that was rejoicing. And the Bible said that he made boast of all these things. He made boast of all these things. A time came even in his ministry when he was boasting about his back. He said, the Jews of the Jews, the Hebrew of Hebrews, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. You understand? He said, but we count all of these things as dung. Did you see the position of the law of the Spirit? We count all of these things as dung. They meant nothing unto us. Okay, now, Romans what? Romans 5:13. Like I said, man was helpless about sin because sin is older than man. You understand? Sin has dwelt in the heart before man came. As a matter of fact, he was walking without any challenge. But when man came, man challenged sin. And that was the problem. Have you ever watched that movie? Problems between two animals, even animal of the same species, is territorial. It's territorial. They will bring a lion to a territory that is not his. They will fight him. That is if he was lucky, they didn't kill him. They will fight him. They always fight about territory. The same thing. What devil was fighting Adam for was territory. We will walk, we will make sure that you buy market. We will give you problem. And truly did. Truly did. For until law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Please. Yes. Straight. But it was not as an offense. It was that law was not basically intended to make man to be offensive unto God. I'm going to give us a scripture that will clear that. That's not the reason. It's not as an offense, not for the purpose of finding fault. No. Not for the purpose of finding fault. Basically, law was given in order to make Satan more sinful. Do you understand? Because God knew that he was a lawless person. He has been walking in lawlessness. So he brought law into fall so that he become more lawless, but not as an offense. So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abandoned unto man. Now let's quickly go
1 Timothy 1:9.
See, he said, knowing this, that the law is not made for who? But for who? Who is the lawless? Who is the lawless? The devil. The Bible called him a lawless man. Go to the book of Revelation. He called him a lawless person. But for the lawless and disobedient, the one who will say, "Tinu minimashi, I'm just going to do it in my own way." And disobedient. For who? For the ungodly. Look at it. And for sinners. Do you understand something here? A lawless, disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners. So they have different classes. Do you understand? So, in other words, a sinner is also very different from disobedience. It's an act. You understand? Now, he said, for unholy and profane, for murderer of fathers and murderers of mother, for manslayers. Let's see verse 10. For all monger, the all mongers, for them that defy themselves with mankind, for men stealers. So what if God wants to pay? They've been stealing, they've been kidnapping for a long time. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured person. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, you see, this is the person that the law is made. If you go back to that scripture, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life that guides you, that reveals those things to you, the law of sin and death that is being made known unto you, will always deliver you from what? From the law of sin and death. You know, no, ikulele, I'm not going there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, this is death, I'm not going there. Oh, this will lead me to death, I'm not going there. Because you are walking in the law of the Spirit of life. And that is why it is quite easy and possible for somebody to walk 24/7 in the law of the Spirit. Praise God. Very, very possible, very convenient. Because he's not walking after flesh. He's not seeking his own. The major problem of man is when he begins to seek his own. When it was the same problem that occurred in the garden, when he sought his own. But when you stop seeking your own and you begin to seek for his, your own will normally come on its own account. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now listen, what the law could not do, the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus will automatically do it. That is why when it's so difficult for some of you to do certain things, just say, no. They don't mention certain things among you again, because you are operating under the law of the Spirit of life. My prayer that this Lord will continually keep you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall not be enslaved in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Any insight? Any contribution? Any question?
The question of Satan being dead. That area, so that some of us will not have, they not ask some of us outside, what is dead? They say dead is dead. I don't know, sir, if you can talk more about that area so that we can know. So we will not literally not equate them, because even death, Satan himself is being killed by death. By the time he's going to finish, he's dying presently as we are speaking. So I am thinking there are individuals, though he's the one that in a way probably invented it, first person to walk in that thing, but do we really equate them to say Satan and death? They are exactly the same, or Satan is equal to death. Because Bible says the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. But before then they would have dealt with Satan. Praise God.
I have a question and maybe a contribution. All right, okay, the first question is, when you say death or Lucifer or something, okay, the Bible said in Ezekiel 28, it said the moment Lucifer raised his, raised up his life and said, wants to raise his throne above God. See, at that moment, it says sin was found in him. All right, and if you are saying that sin and death is Satan, how do we correlate that with Ezekiel 28? That's number one. And number two, can I put as a contribution? When Lucifer was created, he was created with all his beauty and all his majesty. Now, Lucifer was, life. Now, the moment the said sin was found in him, everything that was in him was like he corrupted that life. And everything, what you see life became dead as a result of what was indwelling within him. All right, so I just want to say that maybe if to make it more simple, I'm saying death, it's just about the corruption. But when they say sin was found in him, are we not saying sin was...
But as soon as sin came, Romans 5, as soon as sin came, death served it. It was the sin of Satan that initially brought death, not even the sin of Adam. That's why the Bible says that even before man, sin was in the world. And if sin was in the world, that also means that death was also in the world. Don't forget, when God was telling Adam, he said, the day you eat of this, you shall what? You shall surely die. Because death was already in the garden. Death was already in the world. There was no death. Like you said, Lucifer was a cherub. He was full of life. Full of that glorious life. He does not have capacity to die until he sinned. He invented death. It was his sin that invented death. And talking about death, we are not talking about physical death as few people think I am talking. If you go to the book of Ephesians, it was talking about being separated from the life of God, being alienated. Once a man is alienated from... I wrote an essay. It's next publication. I was talking about three kinds of death. We have spiritual death, we have physical death, we have second death. Okay? Spiritual death is when somebody was alienated. All of these three deaths will still come upon Satan later. But presently, he has been alienated from the life of God.
And so, because of that separation, because he could not relate with life. God is life. Because he does not have capacity to relate with life, he could not absorb life from God again, he's dead. So when we are talking about death, we are talking about being separated from what? From the life of God. Being alienated from the life of God. And that was what Paul was talking about, Gentile. He said, you are once alienated from, you are once dead, but now you are alive. Gentile was not originally dead, were they? They were not. But they were not physically dead, sorry. But they were dead because of that separation. They could not access the life of God. They could not relate with life. God is life. They don't have capacity to relate with life. And so, they were reputed for death. That was the kind of death that I'm talking about. I'm not talking of literary death. Literary death is a lower level operation of death. Do you understand? That's a lower level of pressure. That's a lower thing. And that is what man fears so much. It's nothing. That is, if you, by Sunday, make sure you get that copy. It's just a change of body. When you change your body, you continue. Listen, man does not die naturally. Man does not die. A man continues his journey after death. Because he will put off a terrestrial body and he will put on a celestial body. And so, what dies? The book of, let's quickly look at the book of Job. Job chapter 18. He said, it is Job 18, verse 13. He said, it shall devour the strength of his skin. Listen to this scripture. He was talking about death. He was not talking about God here. When you look at that Job, he was first and foremost talking about God. But at a point, you discover that the character of the person that he was talking about was no longer God. He said, he shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn, death, shall devour his strength. What is the strength of man? Blood. Okay? Blood is the strength of man. That is what makes man to live. And that is a lower form of death. When the blood of man is frisked up and the body could not operate again, the skin is expired. The strength of the skin is taken away. And so skin cannot work normally like it would normally work. Do you understand? Skin becomes like wood. He can't move again. He can't lift up his hand. That's what he was saying. He said, he shall defy the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of the dead shall defy his strength. Verse 14. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle and he shall bring to the king of terrors. He was talking about death. And that is the lower form of death. But the higher form of death, there are two deaths that one must fear. The second one, the second death, which is separation from the life of God, is one of the most terrible. And the second death, which is the finality of death, is the mother of all death, is when a man's soul is cast away into the hellfire. That's the Kusi remedy. So, the death that I'm talking about was not physical death. I'm talking about being separated. He was completely separated and alienated from the life of God. And the same thing happened to everybody who is operating by the law of spirit of sin and death. Such an individual is separated from the life of God. He can't hear God. I think I said it during my... Is it clear? Do you understand what... Do you understand it now? So, that's the kind of death. I'm not talking of the physical death. The low level operation is the physical death. Man should not be afraid of that. Yes.
I understand what Pastor said and the context. In fact, I really appreciate that question. But I would like to throw it this way. While in undergraduate, before you finish, you do a project. And when you are, there's a section in the project called definition of terms. Whereby you pick, there are some common words you use, but you actually give the contextual meaning that you are using that word. I want to say this, when Pastor talked about death, I want to say that the context is, he is actually using it to describe a personality. There's a place in Ephesians that Paul was saying, you are once darkness.
Paul referred to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. Say, for you were once darkness, but now you are light. He called us darkness. But in ourselves, that's a context. He called us in a context that you are darkness, but you are now light. In another context, when using the word darkness, we can refer darkness to another thing. But the truth is, as we see Christ as life, the enemy called Satan is death. That is the context. So I want us to have that background. Thank you.
From the teaching tonight, looking at death as separation from God, the scripture shows that anything that makes us disconnected from God, like corruption, anything that makes us have a dark side is death, darkness, wickedness. And these things come in very subtle manners. It's just slippery ground. The higher you go, the slipperier it becomes. Before you know it, one is out. Look at David. As much as he loved God, but because he was a human, one day, just a little mistake, and death came in. So I would want us all to like be conscious of these things. It is very, very important. And the Holy Spirit never fails. The moment we are going dark, it comes back and shines light. Come on, go back, go back, go back. You are getting up. And may the Lord help us to get back into light in Jesus' name.
I think it's written where there is no where there is no law, there is no sin. What of the sins Okay, let's take this for an example. In Nigeria, smoking is considered very wrong morally in Nigeria. Outside the country, people do it as a normal thing. But the Bible does not make mention of things like that. So where there is no law for some sins, does it mean those sins are not the sins that were not mentioned?
Hallelujah. I think like he's more interested in the principle that where there's no law, there's no sin. The Bible says that the law was introduced. Before the law was introduced, Paul said, I did not know sin until the law came and said, do not. So we didn't know the meaning of steal. If I took your thing, it was normal. But maybe they now say, don't take somebody's thing. If I now take it, it becomes sin. Which is the context you were talking about. But what Apostle Paul made us understand is that the law was given so that man can see how bad he is. The law was actually introduced so that man will see his helplessness, to understand that even that law itself cannot help in a way. It can't help. Don't let me say in a way. It can't help. There's a higher law. That is the law of the spirit of life that can now help. Even when they introduce laws, are made to be broken. Once you make a law, if I don't break it, then it's not a law. I don't break it, then it's not a law. The word makes law is that it's been broken. So if I break it, then I say he has broken the law. If you just put the law there and nobody breaks it, then it's not, so to say, it's not a law. So the context is that there's a higher law that can work from your inside, where we not necessarily need to barricade you and lock you up. When that law operates, it will teach you what is right and what is not right. Like this issue of that, I will now bring that into the context of a man smoking. And like Pastor has said, if you're smoking and you are tearing your lungs apart, I don't think you need an angel to tell you that you are destroying something. And if God says for 70 or 90 or 100, you have an assignment for me, and you cut it short at 40, and you go before God, and they ask you, why didn't you stay? And then you said, because you had actually cut the agenda of God short. Actually, we have had men of God who carried the anointing and they were drunk. People like A.A. Allen. Many of us have read A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen drank so much that when he died, they checked his blood. It was alcohol. And he was a big time evangelist. Read God's General, you see it. I'm not trying to judge him. I'm not saying that God will judge. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there's a higher law that can help you to know. If you tell you don't smoke, most times it won't even help you until God comes in, that law comes in, and you find some people were smoking and just got to a point, just came to a meeting, something just happened to them, and that thing was broken. And when they even take, when they hear the odor of cigarette, they can't stand it anymore. Not because somebody told them do not smoke, but something inside them took over, and they can no longer do it. You understand? But I will not tell anybody that smoking is not a sin. Praise God. If things are not mentioned in the Bible, it means you have to tread gently. And Pastor has said it. Pastor has said that I will not come out with, as much as I will not tell you that it is not, I will also not tell you, like masturbation. There's nowhere in scripture. People try to quote somewhere in Genesis. It was actually not, that was not masturbation. It was not mentioned. So when that such case is coming, then we have to trust God to give us understanding.
I think Romans 2, 14 and 15 will do that. Romans 2, 14 and 15. For when the Gentiles which have not the law, the Gentiles don't have the law, but do by nature the things contained in the law. These having the law are a law unto themselves. Next verse. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So the Gentiles don't need the law. They don't have it. But within them, there is actually another work that is inside. There's something God has programmed in the conscience that is deeper than what the law of Moses does. So the Gentiles operated such that if they were a law to themselves, such that without anybody, without the constitution of Nigeria, you should know how to order your life. That's why. So even if it is not written in any constitution of any nation, there is a higher constitution within you that if you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on, you will know things as you need. There are many things that are seen to me that you see, not a sin, but you know, because of the awakening of the conscience inside, is a law that is within.
Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Pastor made earlier, you talked about, you made an illustration talking about sin as a personal team. Now, you talked about another law, which is the law of the Spirit. Now, the question is, if one walks in the law of the Spirit, and sometimes you see certain manifestation of the law of sin and death, which is sin itself as a personality. Now, my question now goes thus: when some of those attributes comes and you are still walking in the law of the Spirit, is it that that personality itself hasn't died? The personality hasn't died itself?
For by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of man, that's an example. You understand? Now, that is to say that when we are talking about the law of sin and death, basically we are talking of temptation and how to overcome in a simpler language. And how to overcome those temptations as they come. You shall be tempted. You do understand? How many of you are tempted today? Almost every one of us. But what helps us is the law of the Spirit of life. No, I can't do this and sin against my God. That's what the law of the Spirit of life is, what made that boy out of the sin of adultery. How can I do this and sin against my God? He knew that there won't be communion again. You understand? So that's the application. We should be able to apply it on a daily basis. The last person. And we round up.
Yeah,
Praise God. He made mention of conscience. What of a polluted conscience? Paul, a freelancer, said, all things are lawful to me, not all things are expedient. So what if by your conscience nothing is wrong, if your conscience is truly corrupted?
Hello. Yes, all things are lawful, but nothing are expedient. But I will not bring myself under the obedience of any of this. Because if we are not careful, we will quote scripture wrongly. You have to look at the conclusion of it. He said, but I will not put myself under subjection of any of these things. I know that it is wrong. It is okay for me to marry, but I choose not to. It is not a sin. I just mortify my flesh unto it. It's about mortification. And their conscience is sealed with hot iron.
And some of those things could be affected by cultural system. So it's talking about when your conscience of
if your conscience, listen, the person who robbed, do you think their conscience, if their conscience condemned them, they will go and throw what they steal back? But does that make it right? Because their conscience did not condemn them. How can somebody take gun and shoot someone? And yet his conscience does not condemn him. He still spent that money, use the Mustang. Do we say because his conscience does not condemn him, he has not committed sin? These are the people that we talked earlier on, that their conscience are already sealed with hot iron. So they can't differentiate. They are alienated. They are separated from the life of God. They don't understand evil. They don't understand that something is evil. They walk in evil. They constantly walk in darkness. They are darkness. Such people are darkness. They have become darkness. I think that's what we are saying.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.